This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was back on my show in December the 12th, 2019. We're talking about no other than Tetra Biopharma, Inc. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol TBPMF. Also, if you're up there in Toronto, you can find him on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol TBP. And with us today is the chief scientist, also the founder of the company, Mr. Dr. Guy Chamberlain, or better known as Guy. Dr. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You know, recently you guys put out a press release. It was a favorable letter of advice from the FDA, and want to know if you'd bring us up to speed on that. Where are we at on that?
Yeah, so basically, I guess our relationship with the FDA on QuickSleeve began back in 2016. We had submitted our first pre-IND information package to the FDA, led to a what we call a pre-IND meeting or a Type B meeting with the FDA on January 26, 2017, which was an excellent meeting where basically we discussed bringing QuickSleeve all the way to the market. And, you know, you then continued our drug development, and you know, everybody knows kind of like what happened with the product and then how we brought it back alive. But one of the things, you know, you kind of forget because the years go by is FDA still has all of that, you know, kind of data. And you know, when they approved the Plenitude trial, they, you know, people are asking me, why would they approve the Plenitude trial for a product like this? I said, well, I tell people, did you ever think that maybe what we agreed with the FDA in January of 2017, we actually delivered on it? And people are like, you're kidding. And I said, no. I said, the FDA wouldn't approve a trial if we didn't give them data. The FDA is not that way.
Absolutely.
Or Health Canada, by the way. But, you know, these agencies want to see data. And if you say you're going to do something, well, you do it. So, you know, Tetra as a company, we went out and developed the QuickSleeve seriously as per the standards of the industry and brought it. And, you know, one of the things as a drug developer you're always kind of curious about is, you know, are these agencies ever going to let me take a vaporized, say, basically dried flower bud drug product all the way to the market, not in terminal patients, but go maybe into other populations like fibromyalgia or, you know, even uncontrolled pain and advanced cancer, not terminal. And you're always curious how they're going to view that. And in that letter, we basically saw that, you know, they're not closed to it at all. As long as Tetra delivers the, what we call the quality, the manufacturing science, the, you know, non-clinical science and the clinical trial data, then the FDA is not closed to it. To me, it's always made perfect sense. I mean, the regulations are there to adhere to. And if you deliver on them, regulatory agencies are just there to, you know, kind of review the science, kind of like a school teacher, make sure you've done your homework and you pass your kind of your exams. And in the end, they, you know, they give you your report card, which in our case would be, you know, the drug approval. So to me, I wasn't surprised, but I know a lot of shareholders are actually surprised that the FDA would be open. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised people are like that, but to me, it's nothing was new. I mean, deliver the science and show it safe, and the FDA will grant you the approval.
You know, I've had a lot of scientists, a lot of CEOs in this space talking about cannabinoids, terpenes. That being said, why do you think the FDA is really supportive of dry flower bud prescription drugs?
Well, the first thing is, obviously, for a regulator, I mean, you know, the products out there on the market, one, you know, kind of, let's say, from a federal point of view, illegally being dispensed to patients and it's out there. The first thing you'd love as a government is for companies to be developing it as a drug, because that way you actually get data and then you can, you know, get the comfort of seeing it.
Right.
But also your job is to protect patients. And if you don't really know, is it safe to consume every day? You know, there's a difference between a recreational user that uses it, let's say, you know, once a week type of thing, doesn't have the same risks as a patient who's going to consume something on a daily basis for years. So you need the evidence, the hard evidence, to be sure that people are taking things that won't cause more damage to their health. And that's what's lacking. So to me, I think the FDA is going to be supportive. I mean, they are. They always have been for majority of drugs that I've seen, even some, you know, some of the strangest ones I've seen in my career, as long as you're doing the science and you're addressing it as per the art. And that's what's missing. I mean, you want to know, is it going to cause liver damage? Is it going to, you know, basically unbalance the person's immune system, and the first time they get kind of a cold, they're going to end up in the hospital? Is it going to induce cancer? Those are the questions they want us to be able to answer, just like we do with any drug. So it's a question of a risk to benefit, but, you know, if you don't do the science, you can't ever address that.
You know, in December 16th, you guys put out a press release that you signed an agreement there in Portugal. Can you bring us up to speed where we're at on that?
Yeah, so basically, we're now up to two pharmaceutical companies. The Portuguese one is actually one of the oldest European pharmaceutical companies. So they've basically agreed that the day we finish the trials, they're going to be the company willing to sell and distribute the drugs to patients in Portugal. We have the same thing with Alterna Vida in Mexico and the first right on, I think, about eight South American countries. So we're starting to see pharmaceutical companies position themselves to want to sell and distribute our product. And if you remember Sativex, this is kind of how it was actually set up by GW Pharma. They had different agreements by different territories for the sale and distribution of Sativex. So it is consistent with the way the pharmaceutical industry has dealt with innovative, say, cannabis-derived products.
I wanted to get your view before I let you go on CBD and GRAS status, your thoughts on that.
Well, for me, it's a question I get often by people, and a lot of people are surprised, and they say, well, does it just apply to, you know, GW's product, for example, because it comes from a lot of the safety data comes from their science. And I said, no, I mean, it comes to the molecule. And I said, one of the problems is that there is no science. So CBD has been isolated as an ingredient. And
right.
We know from, let's call it phytopharmacology, that often when we isolate ingredients, that we discover things we didn't know about. It doesn't behave the same way as it behaves when it's used, you know, along with the plant. So one of the things we're discovering is that at, let's call it, relatively high doses, that CBD can cause liver injury. So it basically, what it does, it increases the liver enzymes because there's some, you know, kind of liver injuries happening to it. And, you know, I mean, the rest of the toxicology, if you look at what was reviewed by the FDA, is relatively good. So, I mean, overall, you could say CBD is relatively safe, but it's also, you know, the CBD is accumulating in the blood if you take it every day. So a regulator has now needs data. What's a safe dose? At what dose can somebody consume it every day in a food and be safe? Because ultimately, a food is not
right.
supposed to cause harm.
Good question.
And that's what the regulators, I think, understood the Senate is kind of forcing them, you know, now please, you know, go out there and help the industry kind of find what's the safe dose. And can we get these products, you know, legally on the market? And how can we do it without hurting people? But that's the big challenge now. And, you know, the consumers want the products faster than the industry can deliver the science. And that's going to be, in my opinion, one of the challenges in 220, how one regulators, but how industry now comes out there and provides data to show that at a lower level, for example, it can be used safely in edibles on a daily basis. And even Health Canada is going to have to go through that problem here in Canada.
You know, before I let you go, and I appreciate you coming on the show, I just wanted to get your take on a couple of metrics, if you would. You guys are pretty light on revenues. I know that you guys are still in R&D and stuff like that. Your stock price is around 32 cents. But what is your takeaway from going forward here in the next two or three quarters that the listeners and your stockholders can take away about some of your thoughts about going forward in the next two or three quarters?
Well, I think everybody's excited to see we finally reach what we call the pivotal stage, which I tell, you know, my shareholders, those I talk to, is the year of transformation, is the year Tetra really goes from being a biotech to a pharmaceutical company. And, you know, we have to get ready. You don't complete, you know, the pivotal trials and file to a regulatory agency and be told, yes, you can sell and not be ready. So for us, it's the year of transformation. We have to really become a pharmaceutical company in a sense. And that's going to be really the year Tetra transforms. And, you know, I mean, I'm extremely confident we are going to beat placebo because it is the placebo that I have to beat in the clinical trial. And, you know, based on our data, we're confident we're going to win. So based on that, you know, I think shareholders are going to see Tetra going after, obviously, as aggressively and in a sense, kind of a combination of conservatively from a regulatory point of view, but also as aggressive as we can to complete the pivotal trials and submit the data to basically the regulators so that they can begin reviewing and approving the product as soon as possible. So that's, you know, that's basically what's going to happen this year.
My guest today has been Dr. Chamberlain. He is the CEO, chief scientist, and founder of Tetra Biopharma. Take a look at him. You can find him on the OTCQB, ticker symbol TBPMF. You can find him on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol TBP. Dr. Chamberlain, I want to thank you for stopping by on the show. Hopefully you'll come back in 40 or 50 days. Give us an update of what's going on.
Okay, thank you very much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.